Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe, you're going to hate me later, Jans.
And with us, as always, is super fan Mark Biscotti.
Hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here.
Why are we going to hate you later, Joe?
Well, you'll find out later.
It's going to be his pick.
It's
Corey
right.
Haim.
It's his pick.
It's Corey Haim.
I can guarantee you it is nothing to do with Corey Haim.
Fuck.
Good. But I don't like the idea of us hating you. I know.
Come on. It's going to
happen. Maybe you won't.
This is spooky season. It's got to be good shit, dude. God damn it.
We'll get to that later.
God damn it. Yeah, this sound cue. I was going to put one of the Halloween themes on there, but it's not working.
Put it on.
We'll do it in post.
It won't go.
That's even better.
Just play it.
Yeah.
That's what all of our audience members are saying anyway.
Play it again, Matt.
I don't know what the deal is on this. But anyway, we are, as CineScare podcast is going to be at, when I say we, I mean me.
Oh, fuck off. Here we go.
You're telling me to fuck off. You're the one who was so excited about this. And
I was.
So excited
I was.
That you're flaking out.
No, it's not flaking. It's just things came up and I'm not able to go. I want to go. Who doesn't want to go to this? It's not flaking.
Joe didn't go.
Is that called flaking?
No, Joe never. Well, Joe said from the get-go he wasn't.
I said
going.
From the beginning, I'm busy. I already have tickets for an Iowa game that day.
Yeah.
Well, that's flaking.
That's not flaking.
No, that's proper planning.
Flaking is when you say you're going to
do something
and then you don't do that thing.
I'm a man of my word.
Jimmy might be with me, but we are going to be at Halloween or H45 convention, the Halloween celebrating 45 years of the greatest horror franchise of all time. I think we're all in agreement of that.
No.
Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, and there's going to be tons of people there. Tom Atkins is going to be there.
Awesome.
The girl that he was way too old for in Halloween 3
Nothing
is going to be there.
That. Nothing wrong with that.
PJ Souls is going to be there. Nancy Loomis is going to be there. I think her married name is Keys now, but she's going to be there. The guy who played the new version of Dr. Loomis, impersonator, the guy, the lookalike, not the voice.
For
Halloween Kills, yeah. And he's right. Going to be there. It's a whole bunch of people are going to be there. The list goes on. Nick Castle's going to be there. Almost everyone who ever played Michael Myers is going to be there. So it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be there, probably alone. No, I'll probably be there with Jimmy. And we might have Vincent DeSanti there too, perhaps.
Nice.
If he's not too busy. So come by. If you're in the LA area, come by. This is on September 30th and October 1st, that weekend. Saturday and Sunday, we will be in the Pasadena Convention Center. Come by and say hi. I've got a bunch of stickers to give away, and I'm selling my copies of my books, actually. And so maybe we will have some stuff from Womp Stomp Films as well to give out and or sell. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to be sending me, but... Anyway, that's the haps here. So, Joe, what have you watched recently?
Last night, speaking of Halloween, I rewatched Halloween 2.
Beautiful.
Because I think I may possibly enjoy that one almost as much as I do the original.
Yeah, it's grown on me.
Yeah, it's... I really, the more I watch it, the more I'm like, this film really has some great acting, some great jump scare. The tension, the minute Mike Myers hits that hospital finally at the end, it's nothing but tension. And the soundtrack is so, so wonderful. It really sets the moods. That's most of the reason why I enjoy that film. Just because I know you guys are dying to find out what I thought, I watched Deer Hunter. or the Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
So, shocker. I did enjoy it. I liked it quite a bit. Oh, I think there's some editing that need to be done.
Like what?
Like the entire first hour can go. I don't care about the wedding.
No.
I
knew that was going to be.
I knew that was going to
happen. Yeah,
I knew that.
But now that's
It's like the Godfather.
There's so much character development in that first hour. I loved it. Loved it.
Absolutely.
I don't see how that's development. They're the same drunken guys that they were at the beginning of the film as they are when they leave for Vietnam.
There's so much nuance in those scenes, though. Cut. It's so amazing. I love it.
And that's my problem with the film is just the editing. But keep in mind, you remember what I said. I liked the film. But the editing, I don't care for it. I mean, it's such a drastic jump cut from their hometown to now all of a sudden we're in the middle of getting ambushed in Nam.
Absolutely.
You know, there was nothing in between.
That's what's kind of supposed to happen. I mean, that's we're going off to war. And
it's the shock of it. Yeah.
I mean, you guys talk about all this buildup of character development in the wedding in the first hour. Then it just all that gets sucked away entirely.
Exactly.
By the time you get to Nam.
Love it. Love it.
That's what it's supposed to do, Joey.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing you hate about it is what it's supposed to be doing or it's trying to do.
Yeah. Those lives that are like complacent and, you know, it bad or good or whatnot. And then it's just uprooted and put into Vietnam. And it's just riveting. It's riveting. What did you think of
actually, now that Mark puts it that way, I've totally changed my mind, and I love it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I knew you
because he's
see
so
it
succinct
way.
In his explanation. Oh, of course, you're so convincing.
Well, get ready for the other reviews.
I feel like I'm on trial.
Been doing this for 2 years. Joe, what did you think of the Mao?
Well, I mean, I've seen that clip.
Oh, you have?
Way before I've watched this movie. Yeah, I
of
kind
course
of.
You have.
Every time you watch like a best movies in history and that movie comes up, that's the scene you hear all the time.
So good.
I also watched just because I hadn't seen it so long and I wanted to see if it still stands up was Kevin Smith's Dogma. Mm. And I got to say, I don't think I've seen this movie in 10 years. I still really like it. I still think it holds up. I love how Kevin Smith writes dialogue. And I think because this has to do with Catholicism, it was an area that he was well versed in. And he did a very good storyline. The best part was Jay of Jay and Silent Bob wasn't like off the hook. You know, he was reined in quite a bit. He seemed like he really had an idea of what he was doing there, and he cleaned himself up and he participated in the film very well. I still really like it. So if anybody feels that they're some sort of Kevin Smith completist, go back and rewatch it if you haven't seen it in a while.
If you have the copy, because it's really hard to find a copy because of that. Harvey Weinstein, you know, still owns it.
I have some special edition, like, 2-disc DVD set of it that I'm finding on eBay is like for $300.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't get it, but
you can
find, I'm not selling it.
Don't. You can find it on YouTube, the whole entire movie for free. I don't know how long it's gonna last on there. It might, you know, YouTube might take it off or whatnot, but I found it on YouTube and I watched it I think it was like 2 months ago. Yeah, and it holds up like completely. So
yeah. So back to the horror genre, I did watch a new film on Shudder called Bad Things, which is about four ladies that their mother owns a motel, like out in the middle of nowhere, and it's the middle of winter time. For some reason, they all decide to go back to this motel, I should say. No, actually, I guess it's a hotel. Everything's indoors. The place is haunted. And it sort of convinces them to do bad things to each other. It wasn't great. They're trying to be another Shining and they fell really flat. There's so many holes in the storyline for this. I don't think it's worth watching. But anyway, if you just want to see another, you know, new movie that came out in 2023 for the best of for the year, I guess check it out. The best thing I can say about it, it wasn't too long. And then the last thing that I'm going to say that I watched, but I want to preface this by telling both of you, please, if you can, don't watch it, because it might be on my, not this pick, but my next one. So like 2 months from now, I watched Quicksand on Shudder.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is about a,
is that 2023?
Yeah, it just came out. Mm. I believe they are a newly either separate. Yeah. I don't think they're divorced yet. It's a separated couple that are in the medical industry, and they go down to, I want to say, Columbia to help out a friend of theirs or speak at a conference, something like that. They end up going hiking one day and come across some quicksand, and there's some problems that happen after that. I did enjoy it. It's not a phenomenal film, but it does really fit well with a theme that I've been planning, but I can't watch that for another couple months. So
it's a theme anyway. I'm kind of planning, Joe, that maybe I'll do before you.
Well, then I'm not saying anything more, just in case. I don't want to give anything away.
I'm so. Just kidding. I won't do it to you.
That's all I've watched.
That's it? Yeah. Mark?
Yeah.
Did you watch anything aside from your homework?
Yeah. I watched...
Did you watch your homework?
I did.
Now
I did.
That would be...
That should be question, you know, one. Yeah.
I did.
That
I did.
Would be hilarious.
So I watched What You Do in the Shadows.
The TV show?
No. The film?
Well, that's your homework. Hold on. We're not there yet. So aside from this, what did you watch?
It was a joke. Okay. Yeah. don't do it. So I watched Interview with the Vampire, the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
2022. It's on AMC+. I watched, I believe, the first four episodes in one sitting. Could not stop. Finished it. I woke up in the morning. Did not have breakfast. I just pressed play again, and I went through all of it. It's a great series that takes everything wonderful from Anne Rice's novel, but with a more relatable twist and more relatable scenarios. It's set in 2021, I believe. They're doing the COVID masks and whatnot. You know, they mentioned the pandemic. But what's fascinating about this is that Daniel and Louis, the interview that they had was in 1973. And that was their first interview. Apparently, Louis was not very transparent of what, you know, he didn't release his true feelings in an accurate statement of what the interview. He wasn't honest. And so then he meets up with Daniel, who is played by Eric Bogosian, with phenomenal writer, not so much an actor. I'm not a fan of his acting, but he's okay in this. But it's 2021. They're in Dubai, in sweet, amazing penthouse, and there's an interview, and it's the real interview. And so what happens is that they reshift the storyline. They up it into, I believe, what was it, Matt? 1910, I believe they start off at.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 1910. Where,
early 1900s.
Yeah, where Prohibition starts and whatnot. And it works so much better, so much better. And just the series, how it explains, it takes everything out of Interview with the Vampire, Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire novel, takes everything amazing in it and puts it in a different scenario, different timeline. And it works. It works. The acting is phenomenal. Jacob Anderson, who plays Louis, Love him. Love him. And Sam Reed, who plays Lestat, he is Lestat. He is wonderful. And it takes his time through these episodes. And you, instead of like a 2-hour movie that you get with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, you don't get what it is. You just don't get it. It's a nice little puff piece. I mean, I enjoy the film Interview with the Vampire, but this series does it so much, the novel, so much more justice. I love Claudia in this. They just take his time and it just takes different nuances. It's a wonderful, wonderful series. There is going to be a season 2 in this, which I'm very happy about it. Matt showed me the trailer for season 2, and it meets with Armand and with the theater group and whatnot. And it seems like they're really going to take their time and stretch it out and really elaborate on all of that, especially with Louis and Armand. So huge fan of the books, and I was so excited to see it on HBO. You could watch it on HBO. And that's all awesome. I watched. Yeah, that's all I watched.
Yeah.
What did you watch?
I did watch a few things this time. Past couple weeks. Actually, 4 things I want to mention. First of all, I did find, I don't know if anybody else watched Last Voyage of the Demeter. And that's the one that has to do with the voyage of Dracula when he's on his way from Transylvania to London, I guess, when he's moving there. And it's good. It's definitely entertaining. I gave it 3.5 cuts. It looks really good. There's a little, there's some moments where I felt like the CG in it was a little, but from what I've read, most of it wasn't CG. There's some CG that is iffy at times, but I thought it set up some good jump scares, some pretty good jump scares, some good kills. Okay. I feel it could have been, bloodier certainly, but I love the atmosphere and it's entertaining. I like the actors were all really good. I thought that the Dracula creature, when we actually got to see him, was pretty well designed. He's definitely the old school, Nosferatu style of Dracula, not the debonair, charming guy, but the old, really evil kind, and he was definitely not at all a sympathetic character. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's for rent. Yeah, I would wait for it to go to the rent, if it gets to $6.99, they always start off the rentals at $19.99 or whatever, and it might be hit and miss for you on that, but if it's $6 or whatever, definitely worth a rent, and it would be a good one for I think Shocktober, because it's got a good horror atmosphere. And then the next one that we went and saw The Nun Part 2.
Oh boy.
On Friday night, I guess, and I think it was opening weekend, and it was better than the first one. I thought it was entertaining. I gave it 3 stars. I thought, the jump scares probably could have been set up better. There weren't a lot of great ones, but I thought it was kind of fun. I didn't hate it. Certainly. I actually didn't mind the first one too much, to be honest with you. I like those gothic horror kind of look and all of that. So it's definitely worth checking out. Again, this is one, if it's free, if it goes to a free streaming service, definitely worth checking out. It's certainly not a waste of time. It's entertaining. Or a cheaper rental, like a $6 rental. Again, it's not worth buying or anything like that, and it's probably not worth running out to the theater to go see. But you know what? I think this one might play really well on the small screen at home. It's got a really good atmosphere. The acting's good. It's got the younger Farmiga, and I love her. She's fantastic, I think. And she always, Tysa Farmiga, I think is her name. Her older sister is, of course, she plays uh, the the Lorraine Warren in The Conjuring, right? So that's her older sister. So they're always good, and she really grounds the movie. So I liked it. Didn't love it, obviously. It's nothing great, but I think if you go into it just hoping for an entertaining time, you'll enjoy it. And again, might be perfect for Shocktober. And then the last thing I watched, or not the last thing I'm going to mention, but the last movie that I watched, we watched this weekend, a really kind of charming throwback kind of movie. It's called Curse of the Crom, The Legend of Halloween. And that one is... it's on Tubi and it's on Peacock. So it's a free streaming, and it's set during Halloween. It's got a really nice Halloween atmosphere. It's really, you know, I definitely think it's worth checking out. So, it kind of reminds me of like maybe a really good Goosebumps episode.
Okay.
You know, like if there is such a thing,
yeah.
Like a really good Goosebumps episode, but you know, it's like
bloodier, a little
scarier. Yeah, a little, you know, there's some creepy moments, but there, it's just kind of got a throwback kind of charm to it. I don't know.
Is it as like intense as like Fear Street, like 1996 or?
It's not to that. It's somewhere in between that Fear Street trilogy and like Goosebumps. Okay. So it's definitely more intense and better than the average Goosebump episode, but it's not quite it's certainly not at the intensity of Fear Street, but I highly, it has a good Halloween atmosphere. It's set at Halloween. So it's definitely one. I was even thinking about doing an episode. If I were to pick in October, which if Jimmy doesn't come back, I suppose I might be, of doing an episode of movies set during Halloween. It'd be a good episode. Cause I think there's several movies that are set during Halloween that we haven't touched on here.
It's gotta be tons.
Oh yeah. Tons. Yeah. Well, and we've never done,
I think there's one called Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done that.
But we've never done.
We've done all of them.
What's the?
Yes, we have.
We have.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yes, yeah, I guess we did.
We did a Halloween franchise. We did a two-parter, yeah. Joe.
Can we do number three
and
again?
And you guys get on me.
Oh my God! Like, just relax. Like
this is Mark's problem. You know, God. I wish I could mute
other people.
Wish I could. Yeah.
Well, mute what? Yeah. Dude, you forgot an episode. I forgot like a 2-minute review on a film.
Mark, that was back when we were just getting the show going and we were kindly asking you to be a guest. So we had to do it in one episode. We didn't know you were going to stick around. We didn't know we were going to ask you back.
Me back on the next episode.
Right. We didn't know when we first asked you if you were going to come back.
If
I only had a time machine.
Yeah. Yeah. So
go ahead. Anyway. Fire me. Do it.
Oh, my firing button is getting itchy. Let's see.
It's a threat.
So okay, I'm trying. Mark, shh. Was the anthology set at Halloween that Mark didn't pick for his anthology episode? Trick or treat. Yeah. There's a lot of them. Anyway, and then the last thing I do want to mention is there's a TV show that we just started watching this week, and we have two episodes left. It's only six episodes, and I think I hope it ends as awesome, as interestingly as it has unfurled itself. It's called Behind Her Eyes, and it's on Netflix. It's definitely a series worth checking out. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's basically about a woman who here's the blurb. A single mother enters a world of twisted mind games when she begins an affair with her psychiatrist boss while secretly befriending his mysterious wife. Now that description makes it sound like it's basically a Lifetime movie or something, mm-hmm. but there's a lot more to it. And there's this element of people, you know, what is that? What is it? Lucid dreaming, when you can dream and take control of your dream while you're in it. If you've ever heard of that, and there's an element of that to it. So there's, as you watch it, you realize there's something weird between this husband and wife, and there's something weird about his secretary that is having an affair. And there's something off. You just get this feeling, but it's very patient in how it unveils information. And there's a lot of twists. It's a bit, I mean, it's very interesting, because you're, I mean, even if it was just a drama about this love triangle, it's interesting in and of itself, but there's also this supernatural element that is kind of hovering over things that has just begun in the last episode, the episode 4, to really reveal itself. And I'm guessing these last two episodes go pretty horror. There's some horror along the way up to now, but I'm pretty certain the next two episodes are going to go full horror. So definitely worth checking out so far. I haven't watched the last two episodes, so I can't recommend it overall, you know, but what I'm definitely, my wife and I are definitely hooked on it so far. So definitely worth checking out, and I'll report next time as to how these last two episodes turned out. So, and of course, what we do in the shadows wrapped up. And I thought that the last couple episodes weren't as strong as the first few, but still another good season, I thought. Joe, what did you think?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think that series just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
And I'm hooked.
I thought the high point was the episode where Nadja and her doll switch places. I thought that episode was
especially with how Colin Robinson's, what his role was in right. all that.
Yeah. And the whole storyline between Guillermo and Laszlo and everything. Yeah. It that was a high point, but it was another good season.
Hey, just something to point out, just because I threw it up on our Facebook page today, when you were talking about when it's your pick or Halloween themed picks, there is a new movie coming out on Amazon Prime on October 6th. That's also set on Halloween, called Totally Killer.
Oh,
yeah. I saw that.
It's kind of like almost a Freaky Friday, Back to the Future horror film. It actually looked pretty fun. It's the girl.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah, the girl from Kiernan Shirpka, wasn't she the daughter from Mad Men?
Yeah.
Okay. She's the star in it.
She was in. She was also in The Black Coat's Daughter.
Right. Yeah. She goes back to, I think, 1987. When she found out that all of her mom's friends were slaughtered at some cabin in the woods, and some twist of fate happens where she gets blasted back to 1987 and tries to prevent it. But it looked pretty funny. So if you do a Halloween themed pick, I would throw that in there. So
that might have to be one of them. Yeah. All right. Well,
time for homework.
Ew, that was kind of a short one.
Yeah.
There we go.
More dramatic. A lot more girth.
This week. Yeah. This week's pick was my pick, but really it was sort of a homework assignment for Mark, you know, back to school and all. And Joe and I kind of had a little break on this one. We got to watch some movies that we'd already seen and already knew about and already reported on. So, Joe, I kind of feel like Mark can do most of the, well, I don't know. He could do, well, most of the talking tonight, maybe. Yeah, as frightening as that might seem. Maybe I shot myself in the foot with this episode.
Yeah, because it's going to just be like an hour and a half of Mark talking.
of Mark humming and hawing. Yeah. And all right, well, let's give it a shot.
You asked for it.
Although there is one movie that you hadn't seen, so you correct. Know, that I'm curious to see what you thought of that one too. So,
funny thing, before we start, I want you guys to know that every time you recommend a movie, I write it down. Hence today, I wrote down Bad Things, Curse of the Grom on Tubi, and Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. And if you go through my notes, all these, they're all written down. They're all written down. So I do.
Joe, that equals watching them, right?
I would think you're kind of putting yourself out of excuses then for not watching
them. Yeah, exactly. That doesn't help your cause, Mark.
Well, I write them down.
It's maybe just if you'd like, stop watching The Dark Knight for the 800th time and watch some of the movies we recommend.
Or Maverick.
No, it's not The Dark Knight. That's like a once every 3 year thing or something like that. It is. You just got to let The Dark Knight just simmer for a while. Mm. But Maverick, you know, I'll go on scenes, you know. The bombing run's great.
Anyway, so this week's episode is Missed the Mark. And these are movies that missed Mark. And Mark missed.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly. You notice that I spelled it M-A-R-C, right? No, M-A-R-K. Right.
I figured it out on the fan page, kind of.
Yeah, Joe figured it out immediately because he gave a good guffaw on the on our text.
I guffawed. So. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, let's move into the picks, and I kind of was wondering how to do the order, but I'm going to start off deep and hard. And hardcore when I say hard. And that is the film. And I'm very curious to see what you thought of it, Mark. And if my warnings to you last episode softened the blow a little bit. Because when Joe and I watched it, we went in completely cold. And so I didn't go in completely cold because Joe told me, holy shit, you got to watch this movie. but the ending was shocking to me. So maybe I'm curious to see if my warnings to you soften the blow a little. But that is the movie I am discussing right now is 2022's Speak No Evil. A Danish family visits a Dutch family they met on a holiday. What was supposed to be an idyllic weekend slowly starts unraveling as the Danes try to stay polite in the face of unpleasantness. I found this movie disturbing at the end and insanely frustrating all the way up to that point. So, Mark, what were your thoughts?
Staying polite in the face of unpleasantness is what I thought of this film.
Yep.
That's exactly what Matt just said. Verbatim.
I literally came up with that myself. I got the fucking notes right here, guys.
God, if we can only rewind this and listen to it later and see what Matt just said.
All right. So, well, that's the theme here. I mean, obviously Matt and I agreed, you know, that's what the theme was. We all have,
Matt, weren't you just like reading that off IMDb or something? Or
Joe, he definitely writes things down as we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. He does take notes.
I didn't know. It's the first thing.
Yep, that's
good job.
Okay.
Okay. I keep on bringing up my notebook. We've all been through this. It's when situations occur that you don't agree with, pushes you or shoves you through social boundaries. In my experience, I've noticed this more after becoming a parent. I seem to judge other people parent their children in ways I wouldn't raise my kid. And sometimes I want to say something, but the politeness creeps in, and that's what this film does. There's always this annoying politeness that we're accustomed to. If you're being brought up as by your parents, there's a politeness that you say, you just don't say anything. And that was the frustrating thing throughout the whole theme of this film. This film puts you in these situations repeatedly, and it ramps up continuously. There are times when I'm yelling or talking to the husband, like, say something, do something, and he's not doing it. And I know he's complacent at the beginning of the film where you could see it at the beginning where they're in Italy and they're singing and he's got tears to his eyes. And then the gentleman turns around, raises his glass, and he's found his mark. He's found his victim. And that's the guy he's going to go for. But it's rough to see him go through this transition of just having no backbone. And I think that's what was so frustrating throughout the whole film, especially at the end. And I think that's why it's so horrible at the end. It's because throughout the whole film, I mean, this film makes you put yourself in this situation. And you get angry because it doesn't go how you want it to go with the dancing. Yeah. The dancing scene, I thought, was the most infuriating part in the whole entire film, besides the very end. It's just they're dancing. He's, you know, throws the glass against the wall, turns off the ghetto blaster, screaming at the kid. You don't scream at your kid like that for that particular reason, because he has no rhythm. Because he has
now, hang on a minute. He's not very good. He's not a good dancer. That kid deserved the criticism.
Joe.
Jesus. All right. That just triggered me. Yeah, but
he's not getting on Dancing with the Stars anytime soon. The kid was terrible.
Well, no, he's not. Well, no. Obviously, because his tongue's been cut out from his, you know, in front of his parents.
What does that have to do with his rhythm? The kid can't dance.
The kid can't even talk. The kid can't even talk, let alone dance.
Yeah.
You tried dancing without a tongue.
Yeah, so I love this film. I love it all the way through. I thought the music, the menacing music from the very beginning with the headlights going down the road was phenomenal. I thought that just going through all this, just the tension going and going and going. And I loved this film. I loved it.
And they could have gotten away at any time. Really.
Get the fucking stuffed rabbit, man. Go. And then it was underneath the seat.
I do have this in my notes. I don't know how many times I've had to go back for a stuffed animal anywhere, whether it's my parents' house an hour away
True.
No, under that situation, did you have to go back for a stuffed animal?
I've never been in that situation.
Right. But he was, and he went back, and I think he went back and turned around because I'm a man. I, you know, has been kind of like a wet noodle throughout this whole, you know, visit on this holiday. And he turned around and said, hey, I'm going back. I'm going to just say, I'm back and I'm going to get the stuffed animal. I'm going to walk out. And he did it. He did it. He got stuck. He got that fly rat glue trap and he got stuck there and the wife came in. Mm-hmm. And then they just, it just pursued. And it was just, and I know it has to be that the director was on point making the audience frustrated throughout this whole entire film.
Oh yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then at the end, what happens is the most infuriating parent moment I think I've seen on screen ever in my whole entire life. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Right. You get punched in the face while your daughter's tongue is getting cut out and you just sit there and stare and cry. Like, what are you doing? Now, I understand that this is his character and this is what happens. This is what he just can't do anything. But my God, that's what the director wanted. And it just went all the way through. And when you get to that and you're like, man, fight back, do something, fight for your kid, fight for your wife, fight for yourself. And it doesn't happen. It gets really emotional. And I think it's just like aces upon aces. It's like, I was screaming. And then when they're naked, you know, take off your clothes and they're naked and they're gone down. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't expecting this kind of kill. And that was very shocking. And mm-hmm. very rocked my world.
It was brutal.
Getting stoned to death is cannot be fun, and you just think of like
spoilers.
Spoilers, dude, give me a break. Yeah, that was not fun to watch, but it lessened it because I was just like, fuck them. Didn't fight for their kid. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, you know, Joe, any thought? Did you watch it again?
I watched it. I think I appreciated it even more the second time, only because I could just sit back and relax and enjoy it. And I know what's mm-hmm. coming. I know what I've got in store for me. Yeah. And I agree with Mark wholeheartedly. It's one of the most frustrating as a parent. It's what as a man, I know that sounds mm-hmm. horrible to say, but yeah, am I the only person that the minute you meet somebody, you size them up and see how you're going to defeat them? I mean, mm-hmm. I just exactly. kind of figured that, you know, I think it is better to die fighting than to die like a coward. And that's all I could think of when I was watching this guy in the car. He gets punched in the face once. Punch him back. Do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, your daughter's tongue is you know, possibly getting cut out. Do absolute scream, claw at him, kick, whatever you need to do. Get out of that situation. And the other thing is...
Yeah, and they just did whatever they were told the whole time. Yeah,
that's what I was about to get to is...
And you get the feeling if they had just refused, the people would have just let him
go. When they've cut your daughter's tongue out and they have you stand out there and they've got a gun to your head and they tell you to walk down there and take all your clothes off, why? Why would you give them the satisfaction? What else are they going to do? Right. Shoot you? They're going to shoot you anyway. So die with some dignity. Right. Tell them to go fuck themselves and you know, do anything to get out of that situation.
So, Mark, this was a movie that was out last year. Where might it have wound up on your top 10 list? Would it have wound up on your top 10 list if you'd watched it like we asked you to?
I would have put that at 9. I would have put it. It would have been in my top 10. It would have been at 9. Yeah, it's just, it's so frustrating thinking about it. Even with the wife in the back seat where she's just slapping at her after the daughter's taking out of the car and she just slaps and then she just accepts it. It just makes me sick. It's like, start strangling her. It's like, she's not that big. You know, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, threaten the wife the husband who's driving the car and start doing something. Do something. Mm. You're not that far away. And you just accept it and you just start sobbing. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
It's not a fun watch at all. And there's no catharsis at all.
No.
They kept that from you. So, all right. Well, that was Speak No
Evil. Ding, ding, ding.
So,
yeah, ding, ding. Ding, ding. So, pissed me off. So here we go.
It's all downhill from here because I think the rest of all of these movies are all a lot of fun. So that was the only one that was a chore to get through, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think so at all. I thought it was great.
When I say that, I mean it's, you know, it's hard to watch. The rest are more funny or whatever. They're not as nihilistic.
Some may even say animated.
Exactly. Yeah. So the next movie, speaking of which, Joe, is an animated film. This one is one that I would have probably picked for a gateway horror episode. I might still do one unless somebody else wants to. But it would have been one. But I thought, you know what? Mark hasn't seen this, and I kind of felt like you might like it. I could be wrong, but... this is from 2006, Monster House. The monsters are under the bed. Monsters under the bed are scary enough, but what happens when an entire house is out to get you? Three teens aim to find out when they go up against a decrepit neighboring home and unlock its frightening secrets. This stars, of course, among others, Steve Buscemi, Maggie Gyllenhaal, or Gyllenhaal, Nick Cannon, Kevin James, John Hader, Jason Lee, Catherine O'Hara, Fred Willard, Kathleen Turner. I forgot that half these people were even in this, but
I feel it's bad for Kathleen Turner.
Oh, because she was the fat one, right?
Yeah.
The fat
yeah.
wife.
Yeah.
I knew yeah. it.
But I think this is a charming film. It's not Pixar, certainly,
no.
In terms of its animation. It's funny because I think there's some moments that are really beautifully done in this, including the opening sequence with the girl down the sidewalk and the fall feel, I think is pretty good. And then there's other sequence like the chubby friend where Chowder. It feels like the animation is just
Chowder
is just all over the place. With him, and it just feels unfinished. But that was kind of, you know, I mean, this came out in 2006, so that style of animation was still being developed by other people than Pixar. So, but overall, I still, you know, if you take it in consideration that it is early days computer graphics, then it might be easier to stomach. I don't know. I like it though. Mark, what were your thoughts on Monster House?
Yeah, right off the bat, I saw the little blonde girl singing on her tricycle, and I said, "I hope she dies." It's this film wasn't a favorite of mine. The jokes didn't hit for me. The animation was not appealing either. Except I did like some of the house designs with the carpet as a tongue. The animation was the most off-putting thing for me. The facial expressions, just the face designs, it was just too off. I don't know if I'm too used to, you know, watching Pixar or whatnot, but I did not like the animation designs. And from the very beginning, like starting off, there was a question that kept on going on in my mind is, where are the neighbors? Where are the neighbors? Where are the neighbors? This house is alive. It's doing all this stuff. It's with the cops. You got a house on one side, a house on the other side, and no neighbors. It's just completely void of people but these kids and the house. And the two cops and the old guy. That's all you basically see, like, throughout this whole entire film. And it just kept that. It just seemed like a void. It's like
Mark's big on neighbors, Joe.
Well, I was gonna, you know, did you ever like kids say, "Oh, there's a monster in the closet," and then the parents come in and they check and it's gone. I think that's the feel, the concept they're trying to get. You know, let's keep in mind this is a kids' movie. So are there parents sitting next door peering out their window going, "Oh my God, this house is alive"? No.
It would have been a lot more interesting if they did. It would have been a lot more interesting if there was like neighbors going, "Well, what's going on?" Something, you know, peeking through the blinds. I did not like any of the kids in this film. I did not like, what was her name? Jenny? That was her name.
Yeah,
right?
Don't they call her Z? Or, oh, the girl that's...
The girl.
Yeah.
That came up to the door with the candy. She was gotcha. Annoying. Why did she stick around? Why, you know, like, oh, that house almost tried to eat her and she's okay. Oh, let's go investigate. I know this is a kid's film. I know this is a kid's film and, you know, the storyline has to progress. Chowder was completely annoying. I couldn't stand this character at all. Just his jokes, the way that who voiced Chowder, by the way, I didn't look it up.
It's I got it right here. His name is Sam Lerner. He was actually, I don't know if you guys ever watched it, the sitcom called The Goldbergs. It's set back in the 80s.
Yeah.
He's on that. He's one of the main characters. He's
the
plays
older brother?
No. He plays Jeff Schwartz, who's the daughter's girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, just it. The animation just didn't match up with the voices, in my opinion. Yeah, this it wasn't a fun watch. I mean, I was just like looking at my phone, you know, even like at the very end, you know, with the what do you call it? The digger thing. What do you call it? The plow.
Bulldozer,
thank you. Is it? Yeah.
Well, I don't remember. Now it's like a bulldozer to have a big blade on it that
pushes forward. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's a bulldozer. Just the whole, you know, he's just screaming all the time. You knew what was going to happen. You knew, you know, they're going to go up on the crane with the dynamite and throw it in. It was just, I didn't think the writing was that great. Is it a gateway, you know? Sure, you know, into horror. But as a 51-year-old, you know, watching this for the first time, it didn't do anything for me. I don't know how this film holds up, like, later on, except for kids that watched, you know, the Monster House and actually enjoyed it and used it as a gateway.
I was in my late 30s first time I saw it, and I loved it. Yeah.
Did you?
And Brian likes it. Joe, I think, likes it.
Yeah. How do you know Brian likes it?
He mentioned it last episode that they have it and they watch it all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Joe said he owns it. So
Joe owns this film. I wonder how many times he actually watches this film besides,
I don't know,
last week.
I mean, I'm, you know, he had kids and stuff. They were young when this came out, so I'm sure they watched it.
Yeah. What'd you think of it? Like, I mean,
like it. No, I think it's totally fun. I think it's a, you know, I think it's I love the atmosphere. I love the Steve Buscemi. I like the creepy house across that whole trope of the creepy house across the street, you know, that you're not supposed to walk by. It's a, you know, I think it's a great gateway horror. The some of the animation, I wouldn't say that some of the animation doesn't hold up, because even when I saw it originally, I didn't think some of the animation was great. I didn't think Chowder is animated very well, and some of the editing involved with that is a little off. But no, I liked the girl. I liked the babysitter girl, and I like, you know, and people actually get swallowed up by the house. It's not, you know, there is some danger in it too. So
yeah, well, with the babysitter and all that, she says, "Oh, I'm going to look for my boyfriend," and you know, you never see her again. It's like, you know, I thought she would have had like a more important like role in this film, and it just didn't happen. She just all of a sudden just like left. You know, and it was nice to see, you know, the cops come, you know, back out of the hole when the house, you know, collapsed and like blew up and whatnot. And, you know, everybody, you know, was fine and everybody got their, you know, tricycle back and the basketball ball, you know, basketball back. But it was not my favorite,
All right, so Joe. Oh yeah, Joe. What did you think of Monster House?
I will say this is Sony's first film that they used their new animation software for, mm-hmm. So that is somewhat of an excuse of why the animation wasn't exactly up to snuff. However, it's frighteningly bad, especially the hair in people, Maggie mm-hmm. Gyllenhaal's hair and Jason Lee's hair, Jason Lee's teeth in this film, his character Bones was just frightful. Yeah. I will say I agree with Mark 100%. I really love the design of the house, especially once it's animated and comes alive. It's mm-hmm. scary. It's exactly what you think kids would be terrified of that one spooky house down the street in their neighborhood around Halloween. Mm-hmm. But the characters are not developed very well at all. Yeah. Yeah. I don't really care for any of them. Chowder and the main character seem to have a really odd relationship. Chowder doesn't even seem redeemable. I agree with Mark. Jenny has really no reason to stick around with these guys. I do appreciate it, I guess, more than anything, because this was around the time where there were starting to come out with, like Matt called them, gateway horror films for kids to sort of give them a reason to get into Halloween other than it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. So it was nice to start to have some options for your kids around that time of year. But other, you know, as a standalone film, like by today's standards, no, it's not something I would watch regularly.
Yeah, no, I mean, still, if it came out now, you know, with this animation,
Yeah, and what was the reason for Chowder when Jenny was in the room and she's looking at, you know, the Mountain Dew bottles, you know, full of urine and whatnot, and all of a sudden Chowder tries to be a Casanova. All of a sudden, that was completely like from, you know, what character when they're playing basketball at the beginning of the film. And, you know, he's going, let's go trick or treating. You know, he's got the, you know, kid that he wants to stay with the kid version and go trick or treating. And his best friend, the lead, he's going, I think I'm growing up, throwing basketballs and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, Chowder is just being the Casanova. It's like, that's my girl and all that. It made no sense with that character at all. It didn't.
Yeah,
it was all over the place.
All right. So the next one is One Cut of the Dead from 2017. Or 2018, actually, I think it was, but when it came out here anyway. Don't stop shooting. Things go badly for a hack director and film crew shooting a low-budget zombie movie in an abandoned Second World War Japanese facility when they are attacked by real zombies. So this one is one of my favorite movies from a few years ago, and it was one that I think maybe Joe and I might have discovered our first year when we were doing the podcast. I don't remember now, but this one I really appreciate it. It's really charming. I think it's one of the best movies I've seen about making a movie, you know, and especially in the end credits, it just there's so much a labor of love involved in this. And if you did watch this and you were able to, the first 25 minutes or so, you're very awkward, but then you discover how and why. But some of the, I think it's towards the end and then the ending credits, you get to see how they made it with the crew going crazy, running and everything. I loved this movie. So, Mark, what did you think?
Okay. So look, this film got me. It tricked me. I thought this was a 37-minute short film that exploited the one-shot film hype. I had no idea going into this movie what it was about. I didn't look at the time limit. I just pressed play. So it was like 37 minutes into it, and the credits start rolling. I was going, what the fuck did I just watch? And I turned it off. Now, when I turned it off, I saw that there was like an hour left. I was like, what the fuck? That's like, okay. So I turned it back on because I was like really confused.
Yeah. For Mr. Note Taker, I did mention in the last episode that the first half hour is very awkward and you got to stick with it and keep going because it goes on after that. I spent a long time talking about that.
I don't remember that. So anyways, I just write down movies, you know, that I'm supposed to watch.
That's all you listen to.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I listen to. Yeah, no, yeah. That's not true. And I was just like, I just thought the first, like, when I turned it off, I was like, man, that was just really dumb and annoying. And yeah, it's like a one trick pony. It's a one shot. And it wasn't even done well. And then I saw the hour. You know, it's like left. And it's just like, oh, there's more. And then I kind of like huff and puff is going to, is it going to be just the same shit? And I press play and it went through and then it went, you know, what was it like 2 months before it happened? You know, like
the auditions. You know, the
And I was like, oh, not bad. The acting, not that great. The music in it was just like TV show kind of thing that kept on replaying and replaying, which was kind of annoying for me. But I started to respect what all was like transpiring like through it. I was kept on thinking it's going, oh, maybe, you know, a real zombie apocalypse is going to happen like during with the crew. I thought that would have been really cool to happen. Didn't happen, but it was just a fun watch to see the appreciation of like what it takes to make a film. And especially it was great to watch, you know, like a horror film and the dedication that the crew, I was more appreciating the crew at the end than, you know, just the actors, you know, with the blood and the timing and knowing the blocking of what you have to do to make a 37, you know, minute shot, like a one
single shot.
I mean, you're just going, holy shit. And you start like respecting, you know, actually, you know, what you thought was annoying. And I really appreciated that. But it was really nice also that there was a little singular, not too, you know, present storyline with the director and his daughter. And that was nice to see, especially at the very end, you know, when the crane shot, you know, fell off the building and they got on the pyramid and, you know, mm-hmm. then the director's at the pinnacle. Well, the daughter was at the pinnacle, but her father was like on his hands and knees on this pinnacle of this human triangle. And she's just holding the camera. And it was just really nice to see. It was a very, very, very pleasant ending. And like you said, Matt, at the end, you got to see everything at the end where they're doing mm-hmm. one camera and then another camera. And then you got this like little, it's like, let's show exactly what we're doing. That was just pleasant to see. And I'm just going, mm-hmm. wow, how much fun is it to make a fucking film, right? The camaraderie, the, you know, your friends and whatnot. How much fun can it be to make an actual film? And mm-hmm. so at the beginning, hated it. At the end, I just had a smile on my face. And it was nice to see the horrible acting from the beginning and then the acting improved, you know, on the second, you know, it was just an all, you know, a collab that actually worked out very well, very well. And it was a very, very, very good film.
Joe, what did you think of this one?
Oh, I still loved it. I consider this to be like the noises off of right. horror films.
Yeah.
Totally. Good it's, analogy.
Yeah.
It's, and I fell for the same bit when like Mark did the first time I saw it. I'm like, oh, this is pretty junky, but that's like the appetizer before the main course. And once you get to see all these people, the scariest, and I found this again on the second watch, the scariest thing in this film is the TV producer woman, the little Asian woman with the giant eyes and the huge smile that when she smiles, the most rest of her face just disappears. Mm-hmm. She's just one hell of a character, and everything to her is hilarious. But I love this film. It's charming, just like you said. If you're on the cusp of whether or not to join in with a bunch of your friends to put a film together or do any sort of project with a bunch of people, watch this film. This will push you over the edge.
Oh yeah, totally.
For sure.
Inspirational.
I mean, just the fact of how intricate like this filming was is with the 37 one shot film at the beginning, and you hear a banging. It's like you have to see this movie again. And maybe even another time, there's a banging on the door, and it's because the director is trying to get the drunk actor off the door, and he's like holding. And it's just it goes on and on, and and even with the cameraman that falls down, and you see like the horrible chase that's going on. The first time you watch it, you're like, what the fuck am I watching? But then when you watch it the second time, it all makes sense. And then when you watch the credits, it, you know, it's all on purpose. And then there's a guy with giving, you know, the cameraman water, like, here, drink some water. He just pounds a cup of water and grabs another cup of water and pounds it again. So it's like, if there's three versions of this film that you get to watch, it's awesome. Totally awesome.
Yep. Yeah, very well done. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, you got to check it out. But again, you got to stick past the first 30 minutes. The first 30 minutes, you're going to be very confused about what you're watching. But I believe me, it everything happens for a reason. And there are little details like that that happen in those first 30 minutes. And then you see what was actually going on that made the first 30 minutes so awkward. So
what I just said.
Yeah, I said it, but I just reiterated it because I said it better.
You're welcome.
The next film is What We Do in the Shadows from 2014. This is directed by Taika Waititi, who also directed Thor: Love and Thunder, Thor: Ragnarok,
Jojo Rabbit,
and a whole bunch of he's obviously one of our, and there was another one that he did, I think Hunt for the Wilder People. That was the one. That was another one. But he's obviously one of our great talents. He also, I believe, was involved in Flight of the Conchords on some level, and it was also directed by Jermaine Clement, who is one of the main two guys from What We Do in the Shadow, or from Flight of the Conchords. Yeah. And I think Jermaine Clement is just so freaking hilarious. He's great and everything. But anyway, this is vampire housemates try to cope with the complexities of modern life and show a newly turned hipster some of the perks of being undead. And we watched this, and when I told Michelle that this was part of the pick, she was very excited to watch it again. And it, again, of course, as we have said on here, it spawned a couple of shows. One of them was Wellington Paranormal, which I've only watched one episode of. I haven't had a chance to check that one out. But that one episode was pretty funny. I think it's called Wellington Paranormal. And that is the cops that are in the show that come and investigate. I think it's those two that are in Wellington Paranormal. They go down into the basement and investigate. And they're like, oh, you live in a skeleton down here. Let's see. But I love Peter. I love the whole idea of them being flatmates and having chores and responsibilities. It's just absolutely hilarious film. So, Mark, what did you think of What We Do in the Shadows, the movie?
Pass. It's why do I got to go first all the time?
It's your week.
It's not my week.
I missed the mark. The show is all about you.
It's all about you.
All right, well,
it's not called Miss the Joe.
All right, no. So what I decided to do on this, because you guys talk about What We Do in the Shadows a lot with the TV show, and so what I decided to do, I decided to get stoned and watch this film. And so I took 50 milligrams of watermelon smash gummy and waited for them to hit. And before What We Do in the Shadows, I just waited. And when it hit, I pressed play and I went for a gut busting 30 minutes. And I was laughing my ass off, and I had the giggles. I had to pause because I was laughing so hard. It was so much fun. But then I pressed play again. I started to get higher. Things started to get more profound. I was just getting higher and higher, so I was just starting to think it was too much, so I stopped. So my next attempt, I decided to watch it again, but I decided just with 20 milligrams with the watermelon smash. What are you sighing about?
This was a mistake,
I just want to know if you like the goddamn movie or not.
Joe.
Just wait. Just wait.
I don't need to know how
movie.
Many grams. Oh,
okay,
no, you're giving
to talk. I'm
minute by minute
the
review
movie.
Of your
just
day.
Give me a second, oh all right? I'm reviewing the movie. So I took 20 hours. Milligrams.
Just get to it.
No. So I got further into the film and all the way until the undead party. I couldn't deal with it anymore, so I turned it off. So then I had to rent the film again. So
yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. So I had to rent the film again. And so it was my third time watching. And I decided to just watch it, you know, without the gummies. And I enjoyed it. And so the great thing is I have no favorites in this film. They all have their moments in the spotlight. Each storyline felt different and equally funny. Nick, as a newly 2 month made vampire, was completely fun to watch. Stop rubbing your face, Joe. Yeah, vampire names. Here we go. Velasiv?
Oh my God.
Velasiv?
Don't worry about getting to your point.
Just,
I'm going to live forever.
No, Velasiv? Is it Velasiv? Just tell me the fucking name.
I don't have the name in front of me.
Vladislav, depression.
Jermaine Clement.
With his ex-girlfriend, he calls the Beast. Viago, with his flamboyant motherly love for other vampires and his 90-year-old
girlfriend
he lost. Wife at the end. Deacon.
It's Vladislav.
Vladislav, thank you. And Deacon as the unruly vampire of the group with his familiar Jackie, which was kind of a high moment for me when he goes up to her house and the husband with the kids are inside the house and the husband's like, who is this guy? It's a great film. I felt weird about talking about this film. It's like, am I smart enough to understand the jokes? You know, because Madden and Joe are like, you know, a little bit elevated. It's kind of like a highbrow kind of comedy. But I love it. I love the first scene where Vladislav comes up out of the coffin and he gives a look to the camera and then comes back and then, you know, he stops. And then goes back up. He's going, "Hey, it's great. It's a great film. It was a journey for me. Obviously, it was a journey for you guys for this review. Sorry. I wrote some notes. I loved it.
Excellent. Joe, could you cut to the time when you finally watched it and not and skip past the early?
Don't cut it.
So I
meant Joe's review.
Oh.
I bought this on Amazon, the disc. Hang on, let me get my order number, and then I'll get the tracking number, and I'll let you know what day it arrived. And then I took it out of the package, and I watched it. I put it into the DVD player.
There's not enough pauses in that.
Sorry. Sorry. Maybe if I was on 8,000 milligrams of something, I would talk slower. I did buy this because I'm a huge fan of the Spawn off TV show, What We Do in the Shadows, which I will say I've never seen the TV or the movie. I'm sorry, that originated everything. After watching it, I do like it. I like it a lot. I'm probably going to rewatch it. And that's my basis for reviewing most of these movies is how rewatchable they are. But I still think that the television show is a superior product.
The reason being
is those jokes, I think they work great in a 30-minute segment. Yeah. But I think an hour and a half long is just a little bit too much. The jokes start to wear a little thin. But yeah, I love them in half-hour increments. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and I really enjoy – I like the original characters, but – I got to have my Naja. I got to have my
Laszlo.
Laszlo. Yeah. Yeah. So it was really difficult for me, having never seen the original movie, to judge it openly, you know, because I'm already so partial to the TV show.
Yeah,
none of those characters are in it, but I did like it. I am going to watch it again. I think it was funny. I liked it.
Yeah, I had seen the movie first before the TV show came out, because it had been some years between the movie and the TV show coming out, and at least a few, and of course these main three characters, Viago and Vladislav, and what's the new vampire's name? What was his name again?
Nick.
Those three show up. Well, I sent you the clip, but they show up a couple times in the TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the characters from the film are not in the TV, like they're not main characters. It's a whole new vampire.
It's a whole different, whole different vampire household.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I agree. The TV show, I think, is superior. And I kind of felt that way about Flight of the Conchords anyway, that some of their stuff, you know, wasn't always great. Like they had some really, really strong skits, but then not all of them were that strong, but same with their songs or whatever. Kind of like, I guess, Tenacious D. Some of that stuff goes, especially in a full length movie, gets a little old after a while, and it works really well in small doses, but I still love it. And like the werewolves, we're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Not swearwolves.
That was great.
Yeah.
So hilarious. And, and Peter just cracks me up. He's so funny. Just the look on his face. Viago's trying to talk to him. He's standing there like, you know, with that horrible look on his face. It's so funny. Oh yeah. Stu. They all love Stu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Stu's great in it. And I was actually like, I was like kind of a little wrecked. I was like, they're actually going to fucking kill Stu. And then he turns into the werewolf and then he shows up. He's going, it smells like werewolf. It smells like dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, Stu was great in it. But Nick, turning, Jackie into, a vampire, and he shows up and Deacon just going, well, she was mine. That was mine. I mean, it's just such a great, you know, like, just a great comedy. It's really fun to watch.
All right. Well, that brings us to our last film, and appropriately titled Last Shift. This one came out as just like What We Do in the Shadows, came out in 2014, directed by Anthony DeBlasi. All hail the King of Hell. Rookie police officer Jessica Loren has been assigned the last shift at a closing police station and must wait for a hazmat crew to collect biomedical evidence. Ordered not to leave the station under any circumstances, Jessica comes to learn that it's more than just an outdated station. It's home to the ultimate embodiment of evil and his devoted, bloodthirsty followers. Jessica is left to fend for herself in the devil's playground. So this one stars Juliana Harkavy and a bunch of other actors that anyone knows. It's a relatively low budget film. They remade this movie this year and it's titled Malum. And it is basically just a straight remake. It's not a sequel. But I think the original, and I think Joe agrees with me, and I'll be curious to see what Mark thinks. We believe that the original is superior in pretty much every way. I like the main. I don't know why they didn't just recast the main girl in Malum. I thought she was way better than the girl that they cast in Malum. But at any rate, we're here to find out what Mark thought. So, Mark.
Yeah, so why was Malum made 9 years after The Last Shift? This film is way superior than Malum, in my opinion. The acting was on point. I enjoyed the lead, Juliana Harkavy, as I believe you said. See, I do listen. who played the rookie cop much more than the remake. Much more. I mean, she's on point. She seems like she's trained as a, you know, as a cop, a rookie cop, but it just seemed more natural as a rookie cop as what she was.
She was more believable.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I like this film way more because of the hallucinations that went through this film than what Malum went through. Malum went more gore, went more visuals. The Last Shift was more, you know, hallucinations, and it seemed more believable for her to stay there in some form or reason, in my opinion, than what the remake, you know, had this rookie cop go through. I loved the fact that at the end of this film, with her hallucinations, it ended in that way instead of this huge, grand, you know, construction of your father and you're the daughter and this and that. And it all like happened and it all just clicked, you know, together. I didn't enjoy that. With The Last Shift, it was all about hallucinations, and her father, you know, was a hero. He didn't, you know, start, you know, killing cops and all that, you know, all the way through it. It was just more hallucinations. It was more believable. The Last Shift is way better. I wish you know what? No, I was about to say I wish I watched Last Shift before Malum. No, absolutely not. After seeing Malum and just seeing that film, it doesn't even compare to the original. It's not even close. It's just better directed, better acted, better actors, and a better premise and a storyline than what Malum was. Malum just went way too big. It's like, look at this, look at that. And by the end of like watching Malum, I was just like tired. I was like, I don't care anymore. I don't care. It's just like, especially with, you know, the, what do you call him? You know, the priest, the headmaster of the devil, whatever. And they brought him in and it's just this headdress coming on.
In Malum?
Yeah. It just, yeah. It was just too much. It was just too much. I was already checked out. I was checked out like halfway through the film of Malum. Last Shift, I was all the way through it. All the way through it. And so, yeah, way better film. Way better film.
Yeah. Joe?
I have a question, since we've all seen both of these. At the beginning, when she goes into the new precinct, and there is the sergeant who's on duty that she is relieving, he sees her at the end of the hall and tells her to stop and turn around. And in both versions, she stops, she turns around, and she starts walking out as if it were him telling her to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And he stops her and he makes the comment, I didn't tell you to leave. I just told you to turn around. Why is he telling her to turn around? The only thing I can think of is he wanted to check out her ass.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that moment for some reason.
I get the joke.
It is the only thing I didn't know. It's not a joke. I mean, like, I was honestly, I thought it was weird the first time I saw it, and then it happens again in Malum, and then I rewatched Last Shift for this, and in all three of those times, it just stuck in my head. Why is he telling her to turn around?
I think it's because he was dealing with hallucinations also, and he wanted to see if she was a hallucination and see if he could like actually make, you know, her, you know, the hallucination turn around and actually listen. And that's why he went towards, that's what I thought.
I don't know. I think that's just as good of an answer as he wanted to check out her ass, but either way,
I mean, that's what I got out of it.
I've said that I think if I had seen Malum first, I would have been thrilled to see The Last Shift. I'm glad I didn't. Because I'm also thinking that if I had seen Malum first and not known anything else about it, I don't know that I would have been interested enough to watch The Last Ship.
I wasn't interested afterwards. Watching The Last Ship, actually. I was not interested.
You're sort of tainted all. Afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, it was tainted. I was like, I don't want to see this. I mean, I just let again, out a big sigh. I just like, oh, fuck, here we go. But I was pleased by it.
I think, you know, all the things that we've said before about, you know, better casting, better directing. This is a shining example that, you know, just because you got a lot of money doesn't mean that's going to make a great movie. That was kind of its downfall. Yeah. I think even the character designs are far superior. I especially want to point out towards the end, the characters that have the like wet, soppy bags over their faces and they just have the cutout of the mouth and all you can see is the teeth going. That is the thing that nightmares are made of.
Right.
And it's a pillowcase, but, and then whatever else they've got gooped all over it. It's just so frightening.
Yeah. It's way better than what they did in Malum.
Yeah.
Even though Malum
cost next to nothing.
Just with the body bag and it dragging across the hallway where, you know,
and it just
lifts up and then it's just like she's dangling and then it's just like moving and all that. That's fucking scary, man.
Yeah.
That's fucking scary. That's what horror is. It's not special effects just going, look at this and look at that and look how like gory that is. No, absolutely not.
And I particularly love the ending. What happens to her, what she's done.
Yes.
I know it's 9 years old, but I don't want to say what happens. But anyway, it really makes you question what was real throughout the whole night. You know, it's one of those aha moments that you just want to go back and rewatch it. You know, kind of like a Fight Club thing where you want to go back and say, oh, did I miss this? Could that have happened?
Right.
So, yeah, I love this film. I own Last Shift. I don't currently own Malum. I don't think that will change.
Yeah. I wouldn't own Malum either, but I liked Malum more than you guys did. But I do believe Last Shift is way superior to it. Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, at least you've caught up on 5 films that we recommended. So let me give you a round of applause for that.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. No, really.
For those of you at home keeping score, though, that still leaves Salome.
87 because movies.
This is actually the list of movies that Joe and I have recommended that Mark still hasn't bothered to watch. Salome, Bone Tomahawk, A Wounded Fawn, The Harbinger, The Innocents, which is another film from 2022 that you
could have made
might have been on your top 10. Sick, The
Talk
Creeping.
Talk to Me.
No. This is not
Talk to Me just came out like 2 months ago.
Right. The Creeping, The Clock, Influencer, Watcher,
Colors of the Dark.
Hold on. Watcher, Run Sweetheart Run, and The Boy Behind the Door. So that there's still, if we wanted to do a Miss the Mark redux, we would have a lot. But
oh my God, there's so many good ones in that. Like Boy Behind the Door and The Influencer. Yeah. Come on.
Influencer, Boy Behind the Door, Harbinger's great. The Innocence is great. Bone Tomahawk is what, I can't believe he hasn't watched that.
Yeah, I figured
I'm
would
not
have
sure
loved
what
that.
You're doing with your spare time, Mark, but it's not watching movies that Joe and I recommended.
I'm just looking at all the names right now. Yeah,
what, like
lot.
All the names in the world.
No.
He's got a phone book.
I'm just looking at all the names.
Look at the names. Well, new phone books are here. Phone books are here.
Well, it's hard. It's hard. It's usually on my introduction like thing. No, that's not it. Faux steak, grilled lemongrass.
All right. Well, while Mark is looking through the phone book, let's move on to Joe's new pick. Mark, if you could stop turning pages so
Joe
can tell.
Sorry.
tell what movies he has picked for and what is his theme. His opening statement to this podcast had Mark and I both a little terrified because
why are we gonna hate you?
Because we know that Joe is capable of picking movies that we all really love, but he's also proven himself capable of picking the five worst movies maybe we've ever seen on this show.
Why are we gonna hate you?
What's going on? I wish and, I had a drum.
When I said that, okay. Okay, the theme is called Absolute Zero.
Okay.
And the movies are as follows.
All
right. One Missed Call from 2008, which is on Max. Cabin Fever, not the original, but the remake from 2016, which is on Tubi. The Disappointments Room from 2016, which is on Prime. Beneath the Darkness from 2011, which is also on Prime. And Jaws the Revenge, which is on Netflix.
Wait,
these
what?
Are all films that Rotten Tomatoes has given a score of zero.
Oh,
absolute zero.
Fuck yeah.
It was a real coin flip up until the end. But my next pick is good movies that you're going to like.
Yes.
But even bad movies need some love too. So
yes, they do. Too.
And I've out of these five movies, I've seen like 10 minutes of Jaws the Revenge. So honestly, I kind of want to watch this just being a completist so I can say I've seen the whole series.
The first 10 minutes is actually okay in Jaws the Revenge. I think so.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking
plus I knew Mark would like it because it's got Michael Caine in it.
Yeah, Mike.
No, yeah.
Because he loves all Michael Caine horror
That's
films.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And non-horror films.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great in it.
All right.
Bought
well,
a house.
Joe.
Bought a house with it.
Those are some movies we will watch. Less than zero. Oh my God.
Absolute zero.
Absolute zero.
Absolute zero.
Yeah. Less than zero is a great film, by the way.
It's not a horror film. We're not talking
it's
about.
It's not a horror movie.
I know that.
All right.
Great soundtrack,
well,
though.
I guess everybody go to www.cinescarehorror.com to check out our merchandise. Also, as I said before, come and see Mark Flake on H45 convention.
Didn't fucking flake. I swear to God, it's just like things happen. I'm sorry. I wanted to be there, Matt. I wanted to be there. I'm really excited for you.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to make a empty chair and leave it there. And then that'll be Mark.
What happens if I show up? What happens if I actually show up?
I think kiss on the lips. Is
that would be fantastic.
Customary.
It would be awesome. Yeah. You'd come in and sit with me and we would pass out stickers and talk to people
from laughter
and meet Nick Castle and various other people.
Tom Atkins would be fucking cool.
You could say hi to PJ Souls again. She probably remembered you.
Hi, this is PJ Souls, and you're listening to CineScare.
You're totally listening to CineScare.
Hi, this is totally PJ Souls, and you're listening to CineScare.
She was so nice, by the way. I mean, she was so engaging. Man, she's nice. She's awesome.
All right. Well, that'll be it for now.
Oh, I'd like to plug something, too.
Oh, yeah.
If that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I've got one other thing, too, so go ahead.
Well, just because we're getting close to October 1, I mean, it's starting to come up. So look for me at Newcastle Cemetery on Facebook and Instagram because over the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping October 1st is when we start building the cemetery, the haunt out front. And I'd love to know what everybody thinks. So look for me. I'll try to put a link to it on our website or Facebook page or something. So.
Yeah, and that's Newcastle Cemetery.
And I'd like to plug something. I'm going to be eating the one hit, one chip challenge. I'm going to be posting on video soon. And Matt's not happy that I'm doing this. But yeah, they told me to do this, so
care.
I'm going to do it.
I don't care one way or the other. Yeah. I just want to stay for the record. I didn't tell you to do it.
Yeah, none of us did.
None of us.
There's no outcry for this to happen.
No.
But
not what I heard.
As long as you don't die, we don't want you to die.
They're not going to die.
They've pulled these from the shelves. Because
I know you can't find them anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll sell that on eBay.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I could get a plane
also,
trip.
One other thing to plug, the oblongboxshop.com going to be doing, they're releasing, I believe, this following week. After this episode comes out, in fact, maybe this weekend that it comes out, they're releasing their line of, it's called the Boogeyman Company Collection. And there's shirts that say Haddonfield Garage, Crystal Lake Lifeguard, Strode Babysitting, and whatnot. So there will be shirts and devoted to slasher films galore. And we did a shoot this last weekend on location at some of the locations for the Halloween, for the where they filmed the original Halloween, including the the hedge that Michael is seen standing next to, the Myers house. We shot at the Strode house where Jamie Lee Curtis comes out to waiting for her ride to go babysitting with the pumpkin. We shot a lot in actual locations from the movie Halloween. So
will all of this, these items, this apparel, be available on their website to purchase?
It will be available to purchase on the Oblong Box, www.theoblongboxshop.com. And
do they ship to the Quad Cities?
They will ship to anywhere throughout the world, I believe, Joe, if not the United States. There's shirts, there's hoodies, and they all look really nice. They look really good. I shot some video that I'm putting together, and there'll be a promo video that I shot for it. So be on the lookout for that. It's coming out this weekend.
The shirts look awesome, by the way. I saw the video. Yeah, shirts look great.
And yeah, that's a ringing endorsement from our very own Mark Brascati.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Danes try to stay polite in the face of unpleasantness.
Staying polite in the face of unpleasantness is what I thought of this film. I literally came up with that myself.